Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Hey everyone, it's Guy here. So our team is just getting back from our holiday break. So this week we've got a great episode from the archives, our Advice Line conversation with Lara Merican of Lara Bar. We'll be back with fresh Advice Line episodes starting next week, and I'll be joined by some pretty incredible guests like Joe Jebbia, co-founder of Airbnb, and Jack Conti, who co-founded Patreon. So stay tuned. And thank you to all of you who've called in so far. I cannot wait to talk through more of your business challenges in the new year. And I'm looking forward to hearing your ideas. So enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Advice Line on How I Built This Lab. I'm Guy Raz. This is the place where we help try to solve your business challenges. Each week, I'm joined by a legendary founder, a former guest on the show who will help me try to help you. And if you're building something and you need advice, give us a call and you just might be the next guest on the show. Our number is 1-800-433-1298. Send us a one-minute message that tells us about your business and the issues or questions that you'd like help with. You can also send us a voice memo at hibt@id.wondery.com. And make sure to tell us how to reach you. And also, don't forget to sign up for my newsletter. It's full of insights and ideas from the world's greatest entrepreneurs. You can sign up for free at guyraz.com. And we'll put all this info in the podcast description. All right, let's get to it. Joining me this week is Lara Merican, the founder of Lara Bar. Lara, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Guy. It's wonderful to be back.
So great having you. I don't think I've seen you since we took a run in Denver like a couple years ago before the pandemic.
That's hard to believe that it's been that long.
I know.
Four years.
It's been a long time. Because there's a period where I was seeing you all the time. You were coming to our summits and stuff. Anyway, it's great to have you back on the show. You were first on the show way back in 2018. And back then, you, of course, told the story of how you created this incredible brand, Lara Bar. And of course, if anyone listening hasn't heard that episode, just go back in our podcast feed and listen to it. It is such a great episode. We'll put a link in the podcast description as well. But basically, this is back in 2000. You were in your early 30s, recently divorced, unemployed, not at a great place in life, as you described it. And you started experimenting with like your own energy bar for hikes, like basically taking unsweetened fruit and nuts and just grinding them up in your Cuisinart and shaping them into bars.
I did. And I mean, I did not plan on starting a business. I was a passionate natural food person, always looking for great alternatives. And I found myself on a hike one day eating a trail mix. And this light bulb went off for me. And I just knew it intuitively that I needed to follow my idea.
And within just a couple of years, you were selling millions of these Lara bars. And eventually, of course, you sold the brand to General Mills. And unlike a lot of founders who kind of sell their companies and then take off, you stayed on to help the team at General Mills for quite a while to continue to grow the brand. Before we bring our callers, I want to ask you about your experience, kind of dig a little deeper. I remember you talked about one of the first things you did when you were starting the brand was you got a job at Whole Foods. You basically just got a job as a cashier and stock clerk for the paycheck in part, but also to learn about the natural food business, to get like a ground view of how they operate, which I thought was so, so smart. And, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs have side hustles. I mean, What kind of advice do you have for people who are sort of in that phase where they're starting a business and they're not sure whether they should be doing another job or to leave that job, you know, or when to leave that job, if to leave that job?
You know, there isn't one right way to do this. For me, I realized that I knew very little about the actual business. I knew that I was kind of my own core consumer, but I guess the way I would liken it is I wanted to put my fantasy into a reality check. And so by getting into the business at Whole Foods, I looked at it as a paid internship and a way to get a leg in and learn directly without wasting time asking other people's opinions. I immersed myself in that environment. So I would say to people, learn as much as you can. Put yourself in situations and really open yourself up to, you don't know anything, because you really don't know anything until you get into it.
Yeah. Well, Laura, I'm super, super excited that you're on to help me. Hopefully we can give some good advice here. Let's go ahead and take our first caller and let's have our caller introduce themselves. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and just a little bit about your business.
Hello, I am Allison Rupp. I am one of three co-founders of a body care company called Joy Breeders in Denver, Colorado. And we are on a mission to keep people moisturized without any toxins while inspiring them to rewild themselves.
Amazing. Okay, you're in Denver, so not too far from where Laura started Laura Bars. And tell me about, so it's called Joy Breeders.
Joy Breeders.
And it is a skincare brand. Tell me a little bit about how it works, like what makes it unique or different.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I made it because my boyfriend has a rare skin condition, and I was really tired of being in the stores and checking the ingredients in these clean brands and seeing that there were still toxins. And so what's different is that this truly is only 5 or 7, depending on the scent, pure ingredients.
And so when did you start making? When did you start selling it?
I started making it about 3.5 years ago, and then I gave it out to people for Christmas one year, and everybody was like, what is this? I have to buy this. And I never thought I'd be starting a body care company, but we launched it after listening to everybody in June of 2023, so just a little over a year ago.
And where do you guys – and how many products do you have? How many different SKUs do you have?
Yeah, right now we have 3 different ones. We have 2 different versions of Moist, which is our body moisturizer, and then we have one called Pouty Mouth, which is a lip balm.
Got it. And where do you guys mainly sell your products?
Right now we are in boutiques. We just got into a couple of grocery stores in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We're in a couple stores in Hawaii. We are in some boutique motels and direct to consumer as well.
Nice. Okay. And what's your question for us today?
My question is, how can we scale a niche product like ours while keeping the humor and the authenticity that define our brand as we move into these larger markets?
All right. We'll get to your question in a moment. Laura, I want to bring you in. First of all, do you have any questions for Allison?
Well, first of all, I had a very similar issue. I had this exact same question when I started out. So my question to you is, I've looked up your brand online and it looks really, really fun. It has a nice vibe. And so far as you're selling to your consumers in these stores and online, what kind of feedback are people giving you about your product? What do they like about it? What is it doing for them?
Yeah, so we get so much feedback that was so unexpected. I'm a licensed psychotherapist. I never thought I'd be helping people in this way, but it's such an honor. But people say, you know, I've had dry, cracked skin for my whole life and nothing's ever worked. I've tried 50 products and this is the first thing that has worked for me. They love the clean ingredients. They love that it sinks into your skin. And even though it's oil-based and shea butter-based, it doesn't stay oily, but the moisture locks in. So that's the biggest. I could go on and on, but I'll zip my lips now.
Well, I hear you saying that you want to market it authentically and have that humor and authenticity. Like, what is it that people love about that aspect of it as well?
Yeah, so one of my co-founders is my boyfriend, who I made it for, and the other one is my best friend, and we are the Joy Breeders. And we were dubbed that name because people would see us posting things online on our social media, and they would come to us and say, you being your authentic selves allows me to be my authentic self. And there's just no higher honor than hearing that. And so that is our bigger mission, and that's something that we want to do just through being the face of our company, right? Like showing, modeling, being your authentic self.
Well, that's a great way to lead what you're about, being your authentic self. I heard like taglines in what you just said, that authenticity is kind of a lead, like fun, sexy, and authentic, right?
Yeah, we just like to play our way through lives. Like we're always doing wild, crazy, funny things, you know. Playful is one of our biggest values.
Allison, one of the things that, I mean, the question you ask is like, how can we maintain our authenticity while we're scaling? And I guess what I would just kind of push back on that question is to ask you whether that really is a problem. I mean, I'm not sure this is a, it sounds to me more like a problem looking for a solution or a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I would say don't create a problem where one doesn't exist, right? Like, to me, I think you want to focus on scale, focus on sustainability, one or the other, or mm-hmm. both, if you can. But mm-hmm. I mean, the authenticity side. First of all, it's a word that I have trouble with, to be honest, because I think that it's really overused.
It's a buzzword for sure.
It's massively overused, and I mm-hmm. think that the more it's used, the less actually authentic something or someone is. And you often see this on social media where people say, be your most authentic self. And I think to myself, you're standing in front of a camera and you are acting. And so how are you actually authentic? So I guess mm-hmm. to me, authenticity is when you don't actually need to or have to really worry about that word. I mean, you've got a product, you've got a story, you love it, your friends love it. So mm-hmm. that's authentic. Now the question mm-hmm. is, to me, how do you focus on growing the product? How do you focus on getting it out there? So tell me a little bit about what you're doing. Are you working with social media influencers? Are you demoing the product? Tell me a little bit about how you're getting the word out.
Yeah, we are demoing the product constantly, especially at these new grocery stores that we've just been in. And we are talking with a lot of influencers as well. We just went to the Newtopia Now event.
What
and
is that?
Newtopia Now is, it used to be Expo East. So it's a CPG expo. Uh-huh. And we got a lot of unexpected attention there. We had people from big stores coming to us. You know, we've just been kind of after that expo, just preparing for what those meetings are going to look like. And it sounds like we'll be in more and more stores.
I have a follow-up question is to Guy's point in terms of as you're going to scale, mm-hmm. how have you guys looked at how you see yourself fitting into the market? Do you see yourself in grocery stores and boutique stores? And where does your product fit into the category, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, it's a good question. And we're kind of figuring some of that out by trial and error, but some of it we also know. We are a more luxury product. So we're not going to be in just regular grocery stores, probably. We're in more of the niche grocery stores like Lucky's and the more natural focused grocery stores.
Yeah, I think looking at where do you fit in as you're growing, as Guy said, you know, you're looking at scaling, but where are you going to scale? What does that look mm-hmm. like? What is the consumer? I mean, I'm thinking, do you belong in department stores, right? Like mm-hmm. like higher end ones like Neiman Marcus or Nordstrom, you know?
Yeah.
Because body care is a lot of places in spas and all kinds of stuff.
Yes. Yes to all those. See, you just answered the question for me. I started falling into this backwards and I still am. Like you were saying, you're just always figuring things out. So yes, definitely that is a dream. And also to be in hotels. We're working with some hotels, not being just given in the rooms, but being in their mini bars. Because people really go after that stuff when they're traveling, especially to dry climates.
Yeah.
Guy, do you mind if I circle back to one thing that you
Please.
Were saying about the authenticity piece? I think the fear is not that we're being authentic or not, but that it's not very often that you see a brand where the founders are the face of the company, they're customer facing, and the story is a big part of it. And so as we expand, I'm just not wanting to lose that because our bigger mission really is to inspire people to, as I said, rewild themselves as we were before we even became Joy Breeders officially, if that makes sense.
So, I mean, so the question, I guess, is the question, how should we remain the face of the brand? Or
yeah, I don't know how it works, right? When you start getting into these bigger stores, mm-hmm. I don't know what they expect of you. I don't know if I'm going to need to stand my ground when we start to talk about maybe selling. You know, Laura, you said that you stayed on for a while. I just don't want to lose the bigger mission of the company as we move into that.
I mean, you've only been around for about a year now, right, I think?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've got a ways to go before mm-hmm. I just think before you have to worry about that. I think that you've got a lot of work ahead of you. I think it sounds like it's a great product, and you've got interest in the product, and there are people who like the product. And so,
yeah.
I mean, I think this is a conversation or a concern that you might want to really have in, like, 2 or 3 years as you start to see growth and scale. It's just my view.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't disagree with you, Guy. And also, Allison, Denver was my incubator place. And it's a great way to test things out, see what works. Does it work being in the grocery stores? Are you better off in a different spot? And what we did as a company is we used Denver as a testing ground, and what worked, we would do other places as we expanded the brand.
Got it.
I also think that if you look at, and by the way, there are lots of brands that we've had on the show where the founders are the face of the brand, but then you look at a lot of products that are deeply tied to the founder, like Spanx and Sarah Blakely or Lara Bar, which is literally the name of the person that is on this call with me. And at the end of the day, it's the product. I mean, very few people bought Spanx because they loved Sarah Blakely. She's lovable and terrific, but that's not why people bought the product. They bought it because it was really effective. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether Allison is interesting or funny or, you know, that's great. You don't not want to be those things, but it's, do you make a good product that people like?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, a lot of things just clicked, so... Thank you for that. I think I've been really message forward coming from my psychotherapist background. And what I hear you saying is if the product is good, then everything else that I've been talking about with who we are and what we're trying to inspire just comes alongside that or a little bit behind it.
I think so. And I think it's great that you went to the trade show and there's some interest in carrying the product. I mean, I also think that small boutiques are really effective. I mean, that's how Sunbum really began its growth, you know, by going to small boutiques in places like Hawaii. I think you mentioned you're in Hawaii, right? So Hawaii tends to be a really great place to put these things in because you've got a lot of tourists. They're walking through shops. They're looking at products. They've got time and they pick things up.
Yeah.
Laura, any final words of wisdom for Allison?
I would just use this time to just pay attention to everything going on. Make sure that the product is stable in its packaging and all of that before you get distributed out widely, right? Mm-hmm. Like in my world with food, it was, what's the shelf life? But you have the same thing in body care. And you want to make sure that you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's with that stuff so that you know that when you go to a bigger retailer that wants you, you're like, you're solid on that. You know what works, what doesn't. And you're still going to learn on the fly. But this is a great time to really do that research and development thoroughly.
Yeah, thank you.
Indeed. Allison Rep, the brand's called Joy Breeders. Good luck.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. By the way, speaking of skincare routines, I would say in the last 2 years, I have started to do something I never did in my life. I use a mineral sunblock on my face every day. I mean, a friend of mine who's a dermatologist is like, if you're not using that every day, you're basically like exposing yourself to skin damage.
And you're on the West Coast now, right?
I know.
And
so
you have to pay attention to that stuff.
I'm out and walking every single day. You know, I'm in the Bay Area. We're lucky. We get to do that year round. So I'm all about it. As I approach the age of 50, I'm all about it.
Wow. That's an exciting milestone for you.
Yeah, it's exciting. All right. After the break, another caller with another business challenge. I'm Guy Raz, and we're answering your business questions right here on the Advice Line on How I Built This Lab. Welcome back to the Advice Line on How I Built This Lab. I'm Guy Raz. My guest today is Lara Merican. She's the founder of the energy bar brand, Lara Bar. So, Lara, let's get right into it and take another call.
Can't wait to meet the next caller.
Hello, welcome to the Advice Line. You are on with me and Lara Merican. Welcome. Please tell us your name, where you're calling from, and a little bit about your business.
Hi, my name is Mariano Cuesta. I'm based out of Miami, Florida. I'm the founder of Max Brands, which is the owner of Max Caffeine Gum and Max Caffeine Mints. We provide an alternative to coffee and energy drinks, and also provide the caffeine kick and fix that you would like.
All right. So, Mariano, a lot of questions for you. First of all, how did you get into this business? I don't think you were the inventor of caffeine gum. I'm sure that versions of this have been around for a while, but how did you get into making this product?
So it was an afternoon where kind of the light bulb went off. I was working late and it was about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I'm a huge coffee drinker. I used to work in finance in New York, and coffee was life pretty much. Mm. And this day in particular, I didn't want more coffee, but I was a little bit sleepy and I wanted more caffeine. And that's kind of where I started going down the rabbit hole of like, okay, what alternatives are there? And after a lot of research, you're right, that there was already chewing gum. I'm not the inventor of chewing gum with caffeine, but I did realize what was out there wasn't either very good, was very expensive, or not effective. So I thought, you know, hey, I think we could do something here.
Yeah. I imagine that there are plenty of people who probably want this, right? Like people have to work late or... And by the way, does it have the same effect? Let's be honest, because when you drink a lot of coffee, you have to go pee or something else. Does this have the same effect?
Guy, I'm so glad you asked that question. When I started this company, my focus was on people, you know, finance and people that work late. And when started going and showing the product off to people, I started to realize this is much bigger. You've got the Uber drivers, the truck drivers who appreciated this because they didn't have to go to the bathroom after drinking coffee. Educators, athletes. I had never even thought of athletes. And athletes end up being like a huge segment in this world because they don't want to drink a lot of coffee or an energy drink and then go run a few miles. Like, they don't want that slush in their stomach. So the world of what this product, who it's applicable to and who will find a lot of benefit to, was a lot bigger than I originally thought. And that was very eye-opening for me.
Got it. And from what I gather, this was at one time available in some stores, or I think even maybe in Walmart, but it's not anymore. Now you're mainly selling direct to consumer.
Yeah, absolutely right. We sell direct to the consumer. We are in about 50 smaller stores. We had a tester run with Walmart.
All over the country or just in Florida?
It was all over the country. Originally, it was going to be 100 stores and ended up being 450. And so it was quite a ride, learned a lot. We kind of got some guidance from the buyer in terms of how to package this for the candy aisle, which ended up hurting us just logistically.
Put you in the candy aisle?
Yes, correct.
And is that where you want it to be? Did you want this product to be alongside just regular chewing gum and candy?
Originally, we did.
Okay.
We did. It was either that or the sports section. But, you know, it ended up being a pretty big issue. And we're back online. I am, you know, still fighting to get into stores.
I mean, awesome that you had that opportunity. And you learned a lot from that. But basically, people were confused. Like, what is this? Is it a supplement? But it was in the candy section, a lot of confusion. Before I get to Lara, what's the question you have for us?
Right. So it's actually based on what I just talked about. Just a little bit of background. Since we left Walmart, we've tripled our sales online, more than tripled our sales online. Mm-hmm. We continue to grow the brand. The category itself is growing. There's data behind this. And yet we're having trouble getting our foot in the door with some of these major buyers. I understand they're inundated, but my question would be that. How do you get your foot in these doors?
Yeah. Lara Merican, a lot to unpack here. This is a cool idea. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, I think it's a very innovative product. And I like that you've taken gum and caffeine because it's a very easy to use product for people, right? Gum's everywhere, caffeine's everywhere in the form of, you know, coffee mainly and energy drinks. And my question to you is, where are people going to buy this? I was thinking as you were talking, where would I go to buy this? But what are you finding out about the marketplace right now?
It's a great question. Some of the stores that we're in have put us actually next to energy drinks as well. Mm-hmm. It sells well in those places. We haven't had many people put in the supplement section. And then we have had people put it in the candy section. So in terms of just trying to figure out, you know, where it sells more, and obviously that's a function also of, is there enough shelf space to put a product like this? Because, you know, energy drinks in that section is very full. So we've had to find ways around it. We actually started selling them in like clips so you can hang the bags. You don't have to move anything. So
Mariano, what is the competitive landscape like? Because there have to be other caffeine gum brands out there.
Absolutely. Yes. There's a couple other brands, big brands. They've done a great job. I will say that when I started looking into this stuff, the problem I had was it didn't feel like gum. Oreo's so expensive. And one of the things we really wanted to do with this gum is we did put a lot of caffeine into each piece. We put 125 milligrams of caffeine per piece.
Just more than what I'm seeing from the competitors. They have like 50 to 60 grams.
Correct. And our goal was like, we want you when you chew this and that you feel it, like you are ready to go, ready to take on anything that's going on in the day. And that was our goal. So, you know, just for the listeners, 125 milligrams of caffeine is equivalent to about a cup and a quarter of coffee. So we really wanted that to be a differentiator.
Yeah, you're packing a punch, right? So that to me is a competitive advantage over what's going on in the marketplace and why somebody would want to bring you in to compete with somebody else.
Correct. Also, another big thing we have going for us, we're cheaper. That was done absolutely by design. When we saw what the pricing was out there, we were just like, why would anyone pay this much? Because at the end of the day, we're going to be compared to chewing gum, right? So why would anyone pay so much more for chewing gum? I understand it's caffeine. There's definitely a value add there. I don't, but to be paying 10, 15 times with normal chewing gum, I didn't think that was right. So one of the things we really set out to do was provide a better product with more caffeine at a lower, more affordable price.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting about the opportunity here is that everything that you've talked about, you've told us here in this conversation, is not reflected in the product when you see it on the shelves. Like, where you want to start in the storytelling side of it is with the packaging and with your whole kind of theme on your website. It says world's strongest caffeine gum, but what does that tell me? It doesn't tell me anything. I need to understand all the things you just told me in just a few words, right from the get-go, on the packaging, on the website, in your brand Bible that clearly, you know, you haven't put together and you should put together because it's going to really help you.
I would agree. I had the same issue. So when I started Larabar, it was, you know, fruit and nuts, and nuts have a lot of fat in them, and people would freak out about the fat.
So
and
dumb.
I would have to
so
figure
dumb.
Out, yes.
Good
well,
fat. It is. You need that fat.
At the time, no one was on that bandwagon, yeah. Guy. Yeah. Nobody had educated us. And so I had to, as a company, lead the way, and I had to articulate it in a way that it was fun for people and interesting, and they felt like they knew something. So as Guy was pointing out, like, if you want people to pick your product up, you've got to make it compelling. Why is gum and caffeine compelling, right? And then I'm going to go back to, you're talking about, they want to put you in the candy aisle. I had the exact same problem. Mm. I remember we were getting into a major retailer, and at the time, I wasn't clear about where I saw Larabar. And they decided out of nowhere to put it near candy bars. That would have been the kiss of death for us in terms of going straight out of that store, because we didn't belong with candy bars. We were a nutrition bar, a healthier version, kind of indulgent and delicious. And I really pushed back, and we didn't end up going into that retailer. which was a good thing because you have to be in the right spot where people are actually going to find you.
Absolutely critical point here, I think, which is sometimes even when the opportunity seems amazing, you've got to stick to your principles and your vision around this product, right? Like, this is not candy. To me, I mean, this is something that you would discover at a GNC, right? Or in the protein powders aisle at Whole Foods. And where I think you have an opportunity, right? You've got 125 grams of caffeine. That's what, 30 grams more than the cup of coffee. And to me, it's like you could have a tagline on your bag that literally says, you know, rocket fuel for your workout. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand you're trying to reach people, Uber drivers and nighttime people and hospital workers, but maybe you want to just start by focusing on one of those categories and the other ones may follow naturally. You know, it's like you start right. with a tribe. Lara started with hikers. Now Lara bars consumed by it's a mass consumption product. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lara? And you can disagree with me, Lara. You can tell me that I'm full of it.
You're not full of it. You have great ideas, guys. You're a natural entrepreneur. I think it's very smart, like little test groups. You know, you can test the Uber drivers. You can test the athletes. You can do your own little focus groups and figure out right. who's using it and why they're using it and what is it doing for them.
Right, right.
If you lead with curiosity, people will tell you a lot. And I would also say that, like, people do know what caffeine is, but they don't know, right? They know they go to, say, Starbucks to get their coffee or the coffee shop. But what are you offering that's different than that? Like, how can you replace that? Like, for Larabar, it was portable food, right? You're eating real mm-hmm. food still, but you're on the go and you still have that quality there.
Right, right.
Yeah. Simple messages, simple value proposition. Fuel your workout, whatever it says, but simple few words on there that tells me what it is, because Max doesn't do it. It's not, caffeine gum is not enough.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate the advice, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Mariano. The product's called Max Caffeine Gum. Good luck, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
I mean, I think I'm going to try this. I'm definitely going to try this.
I am too. I love tea. I love coffee, but I think there's a great market for this. It's just a matter of connecting with people, right?
Yeah. All right, let's take another quick break, but we'll be right back with another caller. Stay with us. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to The Advice Line right here on How I Built This Lab. Welcome back to The Advice Line on How I Built This Lab. I'm Guy Raz, and today I'm taking calls with Lara Merican. Lara, what do you say? Let's bring on another caller.
That sounds great.
All right, let's bring in our next caller. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited.
I can tell. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and a little bit about your business.
Okay, my name is Loretta Nkwacha. I am the founder of Loretta's British Ginger Tea. It is a New York-based company, and I am currently in Costa Rica. And Loretta's British Ginger Tea is a blend of unique, proprietary, functional, ginger-based beverages.
Mm. Okay, so let's kind of break this down. So this is ginger tea made with ginger root, like it's strong and spicy, right? Like it clears your sinuses, kind of ginger.
It is so strong and spicy. I mean, I give the option on the bottle, on the label, that if it is too much, you can water it down with, you know, so that you don't get the potency, but you still get the health benefits. And you can have it hot, because we Brits, we love to have our tea hot, and we have several cups a day. So I actually drink it hot. And then on the weekend, I drink it cold, straight out of the fridge with a bit of tequila.
So, Loretta, how did you tell me about the idea behind the product? I mean, were you in food and beverage? What were you doing? How did you start this thing? Or why?
Darling, I'm not even in any, like, I don't come from business. The only business I came from was show business. I am an actor and singer, and I've done it like pretty much my whole life. I went to the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama in London, mm-hmm. the same school that Judi Dench went to.
Okay.
So, nice. Yeah. Anyway, so then, okay, fast forward, 2009, I'm pregnant with my first child mm-hmm. in New York. And like many women, I had awful, dreadful morning sickness. Now, morning sickness is supposed to last for the morning for maybe the first trimester, i.e. yes. the first 3 months.
Yes.
Now, mine went on all day for about 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, marvelous. Yeah. So what I did was my doctor said that ginger is really helpful to kind of quell the nausea. So I would sip on ginger ale. I'm not really a soda person, but I would sip on this thing and it helped a little bit.
Yeah.
Fast forward 5 years, I'm pregnant now with my second child in 2014. I said, you know what? I know what to expect this time. I'm not bloody going to drink ginger ale. I'm going to find something else that's going to help. My yeah. doctor recommended that I take anti-nausea medication. I said, no way, I'm making a human, I don't want medication.
No, yeah.
She suggested ginger candy. I said, okay, let me give it a try. It was basically sugar.
Yes.
I thought, well, I don't need diabetes while I'm pregnant, so no. So my husband, God bless his soul, my husband was the one who said, listen, why don't I just go to the store, pick up some ginger root, you can slice it up and make your own.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd ever set my eyes on ginger root. So I sliced it up, boiled it up. It worked. It was amazing. And I loved the way that it tasted. So I would drink it every single day. It helped with the nausea. And I've been drinking it every single day since 2014 when I made this.
I love this. And by the way, ginger also anti-inflammatory. It's a great, and it's just an amazing root. You just, it's so, there's so many things you can do with it. Okay. So this clearly was helping you. And then at what point did you say, you know, I'm going to turn this into a business. I'm going to bottle this up and try and sell this.
Well, I've got my sister Helen to thank for that, because basically I would make batches of tea when any of my friends would get sick. I knew that ginger was helpful for, you know, colds and flu. So I'd make them a batch, deliver it to their house for free. So my sister saw me making these little mini bottles. They were very cute little things showing you how to make a hot toddy. So a little bit of brandy,
whiskey,
then my ginger tea. Yep. Yummy. So she was like, Helen, she was like, Laurie, why'd you keep giving this away? Why aren't you selling this? I said, okay, I don't know anything about business. Where would I start? She goes, I don't know. Research it. I was like, okay. I did it. September 2021, I made my first sale in the farmer's market in my little town of Babylon, Long Island, New York. And so I then managed to basically take bottles and go to various stores, all the sort of health food stores, and it had to be refrigerated. The shelf life was so short, like 6 weeks. So I had to realize that, okay, I have to do something to extend the shelf life if it's possible, and also get it out of the fridges.
Yeah.
So I took everything off the shelves literally a few months ago while I started working on fundraising to try and figure out a way to have it formulated.
So you haven't been able to figure this out yet. You're still at this point where you're trying to figure out how to make it shelf stable or how to make it last longer, right?
Yeah. And also get out of plastic bottles. It doesn't align with what I'm trying to give people, this helpful drink.
I love this. Plastic. I love this. Okay. So, and is are those basically your questions? Like, how do I figure this out? Or do you have an additional question?
Well, my question is, how the bloody hell do I fundraise when it's tough to, you know, I've applied for so many grants,
yep.
pitching events, all of that stuff. But how do you fundraise effectively when you're just doing everything yourself?
Yeah. And can you give us a rough estimate of how much you put in already? Like several thousand dollars?
$25,000.
Right. Okay. So I mean, that's not an inconsiderable amount of money. And obviously, you've got something worth pursuing. But here's where you have a massive competitive advantage versus every micro brand out there in all categories. You are an actor. You have a background in acting. You have incredible charisma. You are there's an infectious quality to your personality. And to me, it feels like you can really use those qualities to build this brand up slowly and methodically. One simple idea I thought for funding is to try crowdfunding.
I just launched my iFundWomen. I just launched it. Kickstarter failed terribly because I didn't have instruction as to what to do once I set the page up.
But then try it again or try a different one. But you're trying one because everything you've said here is so interesting. It makes so much sense. It's the story. It's the product. It's what it's done for you. I mean, this was really helped you in your pregnancy. What a great way to start marketing or telling a story around a product. And so that's where I think you have an opportunity to start to raise a little bit of cash and to see if you can, you know, maybe raise another 20, 25 grand and find, you know, hopefully other people who can help you kind of begin to take this to the next level.
And do you trust, I mean, Lara, I know you were also doing this by yourself. So how do you trust that you're even doing what you're supposed to be doing and not wasting time on things that you're not supposed to be doing because you don't have the other eyes and ears on you or working with you to say, listen, no, that's no good. Let's try this instead. Like right now, this is a great group for me. I can, you know, this is great education, but I don't have that every day. So how do you do that?
You know, I really led with optimism and I was really passionate as you are. And that passion and optimism is future and forward thinking.
Yes.
Is really what it's about. I actually just got a degree in that, in positive psychology. And because I'm so curious about
your second life and career we haven't even talked about.
I know. Wow. I know. And because I'm just so interested in what about the human condition and what compels us as human beings. And I think entrepreneurs are very forward and future thinking people. And so to Guy's point about you, you've got it. I face those same peaks and those same valleys that you're going through right now, which is why am I going to do this? Why? I mean, at the time I had my idea, everybody thought I was completely out of my mind. I was dealing with an oversaturated category, which it still is today. Yet there was still room for something new and different. So there is always a way, right? If there's a will, there's a way, and you've got it going on.
Yep. And there's so many ways to really push this out. You know, cold and flu season, just a sipping beverage, anti-inflammatory. I mean, there's as we speak today, the New York Times has an article about anti-inflammatory foods, and I believe ginger is right on the front of that article.
Yeah, of course it is. And even for like, you know, for at one point I was talking to someone about trying to maybe get into the hospital, you know, the shops in hospitals because of cancer patients. My mother died in 2006 from stomach cancer, and watching the effects of chemotherapy, and nausea is a huge side effect of it.
Huge.
Right? And it just it depletes your energy. It kills you, literally, right? And I just thought, my God, if this had come across my path, my brain, when my mother was still alive, this would have helped her enormously. Mm. Yes, it won't cure cancer, but it would help those after effects. I can't scream it loud enough from any mountaintop. The fact that I drink this every day, literally, the minute it touches my mouth, I'm like, oh. Every day.
It just like chills you. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. One of the ways to do it is you start with who you know. You start with literally your closest friends, and you just ask them, can you put in $500? Can you put in $1,000? You go to, you know, if there's a community group that you're in, if there's parents at school, and you just, you have to put yourself out there. Say, no big deal if you, you know, it's a lot, it's a big ask, but I'm trying to raise money, and you know, you'll have equity, you'll have a stake in this thing.
Yeah.
And I really believe in it. And I'm trying to raise about 20, 25 grand to go to the next phase of it.
It's that discomfort of asking people for money. Like, I'll ask a stranger if I have to, but with my friend group and whatever, you know, I'm the one that kind of helps with advice and, you know, and sort of wisdom, et cetera, thanks to my mommy. I very rarely ask for help in that sense. Like, to ask you for money, I'm the one that will lend you the money. So how do I was just thinking while you're talking, do I just pretend I'm a different character and to ask them for money? And that makes me, even thinking of, I'm stuttering.
Lara, let's put on your positive psychology degree here.
yes,
right?
Please.
Asking is hard. It's asking is very hard for a lot of people. It's very hard. It's hard for me, I'll be honest with you. But I do think that if there's one thing I've seen in almost 700 episodes of How I Built This, is that virtually every entrepreneur on the show has figured out how to get over that and how to ask for help. Laura?
It's so true. It's just, it's creating a new habit. I mean, you're asking for feedback right now. You've already taken a huge step. You're on this program. You've already asked. Like, you have it in you to do it, right? And you just have to just little steps, one thing at a time, right? You're not going to get to the top of the mountain tomorrow, but one little ask at a time. Everybody has their own way of asking, right? Like, I agree. I don't like asking either, but I like it to be like a natural fit, right? Like, I like to connect with people because it just like we have a similar thing. And I did that with the stores when I got in the stores. I was like, I'm not going to knock down the doors of people that don't believe in me, but I'm going to go where the energy is flowing, right? Okay. The people that believe in me and people like that. So that's what I would do. I mean, if you don't ask, you never know.
I know. And if you don't ask, you don't get. Oh, I have all those. Okay. Okay.
All right. You got this. You got this. Loretta's British ginger tea. Look for it. Look for it in your stores one day. Loretta, congrats. Good luck. We're cheering you on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So great to meet you.
You too.
So, Laura, we are at the end of another episode of Advice Line, and it's so cool to hear. One of my favorite things, and I'd be lying if I didn't say it was one of my favorite things, is when people call in or people stop me at, you know, at airports or wherever, and they're like, I listen to this show every day building my business. It's so heartening because that's why we do it. That's why we brought you on all those years ago. We do it for that reason, to give people the energy to keep going when it's hard.
Yeah, I think we all need inspiration. I'm still inspired by the show. I'm an entrepreneur and I listen to these episodes and every time I learn something, I learn it. I love learning new things and understanding how there's a lot of different ways to get there.
Yeah. And I should mention, you are embarking on a new chapter in your life. I mean, you built and scaled a successful company and brand. You've been an investor and a mentor. I know you were doing that for a long time, still do a lot of that. But you, on the side, went off and did like a graduate degree in psychology, right?
I did. It was typical of me on a whim, you know, just like Laura Bryant, I didn't plan it. And I had my undergrad in psych and I was a social worker many years ago. And then I got into this program and then I started dissecting how did I get to where I was as an entrepreneur using grit and resilience, perseverance, optimism, all of that stuff. And I just realized like this is where I really want to put my energy and how I want to help people. Using those, you know, these core concepts.
It's so cool. Congrats. And so tell me a little bit about how you're thinking about doing that.
Well, it's early stages, Guy. Yeah. But one of the ways is really coaching people. I think that I've done a lot of that myself, and it really helps me. And when you know, coaching is about leading with curiosity and really asking people those questions. I mean, you're very good at that on your show. You're curious. You ask people really crucial questions that get them to think. And so I'm starting an organization with a cohort member of mine, and we're going to do educational pieces and coaching and just make it really fun and approachable. As entrepreneurs, you know, it's not just the business prowess, it's the psychology behind it. How do you get up every day? You know, Loretta, like, how do you keep going when you're faced with an obstacle? What do you do? How do you get the inspiration? How do you reach out when you don't feel like you want to reach out?
Yeah.
You know, I think we all need that support.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming onto the Advice Line.
Thanks for having me. Such a pleasure.
That's Laura Merican, founder of Laura Bar, and more recently, co-founder of Anther, a coaching service for entrepreneurs. By the way, if you haven't heard Laura's original How I Built This episode, you've got to go back and check it out. You can find a link to it in the podcast description, so just scroll down and check it out. And here is one of my favorite moments from that interview.
Well, the trademarking attorney called me at the 11th hour, and we were getting ready to launch. It was the year 2002, summer. And she said, I think you're going to need to change the name. And I just thought,
You're joking, right? I've left working at Whole Foods, and we're supposed to be launching, but we don't launch. And everybody's backing out because nothing's happening.
Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. Please make sure to sign up for my newsletter. You can sign up for that for free at guyraz.com. And every week we put in tons of insights from entrepreneurs, my own observations and experiences interviewing some of the greatest entrepreneurs ever. If you are working on a business and you would like to be on this show, send us a one-minute message that tells us about your business, the issues or questions that you'd like help with, and hopefully we can help you with them. And make sure to tell us how to reach you. You can send us a voice memo at hibt@id.wondery.com or call 1-800-433-1298 and leave a message there, and we'll put all this in the podcast description as well. This episode was produced by Sam Paulson with music composed by Ramtin Arablouei. It was edited by John Isabella, and our audio engineer was Neil Rauch. Our production staff also includes Alex Chung, Elaine Coates, Carla Estevez, Neva Grant, JC Howard, Chris Messini, Devin Schwartz, Catherine Seifer, and Kerry Thompson. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to How I Built This. If you like How I Built This, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.